Look at identity and how important it may or may not be in the presidential election. Now, you might think that since we seem to be living in a time when conversations about race and gender and religion are in the headlines a lot, that identity-conscious voters might support candidates that share their background and their experiences. Well, our next guest says that in this presidential election, feminists aren't necessarily defaulting to Hillary Clinton, and Latinos aren't automatically supporting Ted Cruz, or Marco Rubio, for that matter, who dropped out of the race last week. Maria Muriel joins us now. She's digital editor for Public Radio International, and she reported on identity politics for PRI's Global Nation Exchange Project, which tells stories of immigrants in the United States. Maria, welcome to Central Time.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Well, what are we seeing right now with voter trends and the idea of identity politics, of voters supporting candidates who might have a similar background to them?
I think especially in this election, what's very different from the 2012 election and even the 2008 election is that typically in the media, we tend to want to write about, you know, politicians going after a certain demographic vote, like a politician going after the black vote or the Latino vote. And in this election, what I've been seeing in my reporting is that voting trends are, they might still be, for the most part, split that way, but not necessarily, it's not black and white. You know, people aren't, like you said, you know, I've reported on women who aren't automatically going to vote for Hillary Clinton because they want to see a woman president. And what's starkly different here than in, say, the 2008 election is that black voters in that year voted for President Obama overwhelmingly. He won like something like 80 or 90% of the black vote. Because that was a very historically important election for that part of the population.
So you're saying that the history making that could be in the offing for this election cycle, the first woman president, the first Jewish president, the first Cuban-American president, that doesn't carry the same historical weight as President Obama's election might have?
It doesn't appear to be, because I've talked to a lot of people who, you know, these women that aren't going to vote for Hillary Clinton just because they want to see a woman president. And, you know, you also hear people say that young people tend to support Bernie Sanders because they agree with his social Democrat policies. But it doesn't seem to be as clearly divided along demographic lines and generational lines as the media typically tends to present it. I just think that in this election year, we're seeing a lot more nuances in voter trends.
Is that, do you think, in part because the candidates themselves aren't talking that much about it? Hillary Clinton has not said to women, vote for me to see the first woman president so much. And Bernie Sanders, you know, has been sort of singled out as not talking a lot about his Jewish heritage either, even though, you know, he's identifiable as is Hillary Clinton, as is Ted Cruz. But is there not as much talk about it from the candidates themselves?
I think that might be a part of it, although I don't think that President Obama really touted his ethnicity as a reason to vote for to be elected. Hillary Clinton has said, you know, if I got elected, I would be the first woman president. But you're right that Bernie Sanders doesn't really kind of promote his Jewish identity as a reason that he should be elected. I think, though, a reason for the very nuanced differences in voting trends this year is because as a society, as a country, we are talking about our identities a lot more. And we are sort of in this era where we want to define our identities a lot more and who we are. And, you know, there's a lot more of a conversation nationally about that. So I think that's kind of influencing people to not be pegged into a certain hole. You know, we don't want to let, just because we're female, we don't want to do this. We are female, but we are also, you know, maybe conservative or liberal. And there's just a lot more things at play than we've seen in past elections.
And you heard feminist icon Gloria Steinem, also Madeleine Albright, trying to sort of engage women in electing a woman president. It seemed to kind of backfire, that it was almost offensive to some feminists that, why would I just vote for a woman because I'm a woman? That's overly simplistic, that voters are more kind of embracing the Walt Whitman style of containing multitudes.
Yeah, you're right. And that I thought that was really interesting. And I think in that instance, it was sort of a clear generational divide because Gloria Steinem and Madeleine Albright obviously come from a wave of feminism that is older than a lot of millennial voters today who really don't want to just be, like I said, pushed into this voting block of female voter who's going to be predictably supportive of the female candidate. And I actually interviewed a father and daughter. I'm in Miami for some reporting this week, and I interviewed a Cuban-American father and daughter who the father voted for Marco Rubio in the Florida primary, and he did say that he voted for Marco Rubio because he could identify with him. You know, Marco Rubio is obviously out of the race now, but he grew up in Miami. He is a local here, and this man was saying, I voted for him because he is like me, he's one of us, and I would like to see him in the White House. And then this man's daughter was saying, well, you know, I didn't vote for Marco Rubio, and I'm Cuban-American too, and I grew up in Miami too, and I also didn't vote for Hillary Clinton because I'm a woman. I think she said she voted for Bernie Sanders because she agrees with his policies the most. And I think that's actually what's driving voters the most today, the policies of the candidates.
We're talking right now with Maria Muriel, digital editor at Public Radio International, where she recently has been reporting on identity politics in this presidential cycle. And you mentioned the young woman you talked to in Miami voting for Bernie Sanders. Now, it seems as though there you have a white man running for president, but there is a lot of apparently diversity among his supporters. What have you seen there?
Yeah, there seems to be, although, you know, in some southern states, Hillary Clinton won some states out from under him. And it has been reported that Bernie Sanders doesn't really have a lot of diverse support base. But what I'm trying to say and what I've seen in my reporting is that it's not all black and white, right? Like everything is not the way that the headlines will make you think. There's an exception to every rule, kind of. You know, even though a group of people might tend to vote a certain way, that doesn't mean that everybody within that group of people is going to go for the same candidate. And that doesn't seem to be as much of a rallying cry as it may have been in past elections.
You know, we talk a lot about, as we look at these primaries, who is going to get the Latino vote? Who is going to get the black vote? Do those terms even really apply in this election? Can we talk about it like that?
You know, we do talk about it like that. We certainly do in the media. I'm Latina. I'm from Peru, and I'm white. I like to say that I'm allergic to the term Latino vote and black vote, just because I feel like it's not a monochromatic uniform thing, right? Especially with Latino identity in the U.S., you have Latinos that identify as white, you have Latinos that identify as black, you have Latinos that identify as Muslim, as a million other things. And this is what I'm talking about when I say there's a lot more nuance in the way that we refer to identity now, because sure, we might be part of one group, but we might also be a part of another. And that might have to do with the fact that we are a more diverse populace today.
And you said that the voters were voting more along policy, the policy of the candidates. Do you see that as something exceptional about this particular race, this particular moment in history? Or is this a change in the way voters are thinking?
You know, I don't think that I can speak historically about this, but I would like to think that usually in elections, we choose our candidates based on policy. I would like to think that that's always the case. However, if you look back at the 2008 election, just because having a black president for the first time is such a historically significant thing, I think it makes sense for the black electorate to sort of support that 100%.
So looking at that election of President Obama, the first black president in the United States, how does that inform what's happening now? Has it changed anything, or was that sort of a one-off, a special case?
I don't know that it was a one-off, but what I can say is that was a very momentous time for the United States, right? Like, there was a lot of energy, especially around young voters. I remember I was in college at that time, and I remember the sort of palpable energy for this presidential election. I mean, young people came out in droves, like this was all reported, right? So that was very special about that election year. This year, I think the way our election, the way our presidential election and the cycle has developed, there has just been so many sort of things that have come out of left field that people haven't expected. You know, Donald Trump being the presidential front runner when nobody really expected that at the beginning. It's just, I think, a really strange election year. I don't know that it's that, you know, President Obama's initial election in 2008 is the only time that identity will matter in that way in our presidential elections. But this is certainly a more nuanced and unique and diverse election cycle this year.
Maria, thanks a lot for joining us.
Thank you very much for having me.
That was Maria Muriel, digital editor at Public Radio International, where she recently reported on identity politics in the United States.